coming up on Thunder Pop.
My dog's barking in the backyard. And also, we've got, I'm very excited about, I've been excited about this one for a little while now, because I knew this was coming up. We've got two of the members of Evil Flying Chickens. If you guys could introduce yourselves.
I'm Jason. I'm the king chicken, head chicken, maker of chicken shit, whatever you want to say.
I'm Jazz One.
And we were going to talk to them a little bit about what they're doing. And then we're going to also talk about a reboot, potential reboot of a very popular TV show. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that too. But now here's that theme music. Listened to earlier, I love, by the way, and I want that like on my iPod, on my iPad, on my laptop. It was I really enjoyed that.
It's a nerd empowerment anthem. And based on a true story.
That, oh, there's a Spider-Man t-shirt. When did y'all write that? I'm sorry, I'm trying to get the y'alls out just to be more less specific to our locale. When did you gentlemen, when did you gents put that out?
It was really just an idea that was kind of bouncing around my head. You know, I kind of grew up going to the comic books back in the dark times when women didn't attend comic book conventions, and people who didn't have an IQ of less than 150 didn't attend comic book conventions. I used to go to the Comic-Con before it was in the convention center. And when you're a nerd, this was the 80s. This was a Revenge of the Nerds, like real nerd kind of thing. The idea of touching a boob is so foreign to you. And so it was just always a dream of mine that perhaps I would, you know, get some attention from an attractive girl with lots of steel in her face. And so, you know, it morphed into a song about how that's finally kind of come to be. I mean, it looks to me like in pop culture now, you see all these pictures of girls in, you know, superhero tees and, you know, different colored hair. These are like attractive women. I don't know if you ever went to those comic book conventions in like the late 80s, but if there was any women there, they kind of looked like something you wanted to slay at the D&D table. You know?
Off that and segueing. And how would you? But, Jazz One, how do I know you?
Oh, man. I think we were originally meeting at the coffee shop, but over La Tazza Fresca. And, I don't know, man. I think I've known you almost as long as I've been in town.
I remember the, I was just thinking about La Tazza Fresca the other day. And Sir Jason, how do I know you?
I knocked on your door like 10 minutes ago.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I was nice enough to pull up your Facebook page and like the podcast.
Oh, know? Well, thank you.
Because I think
that's the new
social etiquette, isn't it? Like you just find out about somebody and then you have to like their Facebook page and scroll down and make sure they don't have any naked pictures of your mom or anything.
Exactly. There's not something that you should be, you know, worried about. You know, make sure their name's not Jared Fogle.
Yeah.
That would be on my list. It's like, oh, yeah, come over here and meet my friend Jared Fogle.
Not wearing a David Duke for Governor t-shirt.
Yeah.
Wow,
you know,
I'm going to
tell you,
myself.
Subway was just completely ruined for me off that whole thing. And I used to kind of like Subway. And now, like, I feel like, you know, I can't like Subway now. I mean, I drove by there the other day, too. It's like, now open till midnight. And I was like, is this the time to start rolling that out? Because when you think of Subway at midnight, I mean, what do you think who's going to be there? It's going to be someone in that. Anyway.
I always thought they were a little bit pretentious, calling themselves sandwich artists. I mean, that's almost as bad as those Apple geniuses. Like, I've never been to a gallery and there's a sandwich sitting there.
Oh, what's going to be next? I mean, they got the Windows, you know, has a store.
Yeah.
It'd be like the Windows Emperors.
Oh.
you could go on and on with that. I mean, you could have like Samsung could be the Samsung gods. They could start taking that kind of the next level. Like, you walk in and they're wearing like kind of loincloths with like gold headbands.
That would rock.
That's their new outfit with a badge on. Their name.
I might have to learn how to use Windows then.
And you, I don't know if you work. I've worked briefly corporate, you know, and I had the job, and I know that there's a language sometimes you're even given. Like, this is the words, the phrases we use, and they're copywritten, so you can't like use them in any other company.
Oh, goodness.
And so I'm wondering, like, if you had like the Samsung gods. When they had their own language, like, I will bestow upon you an appointment at 5 p.m. to have meet with a god, to have your blessed upon your machine. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk. We got a reboot. A reboot, possible reboot. It's in the works.
I'm so glad that you gave work to the people who did the themes for Webster.
Okay, we're going to go take a break. I'm going to see if the pizza's arrived. And if it hasn't, well, we'll resume and we'll talk some topics. Coming up. I knew Jazz as a DJ, like from like early on, and then the music thing. He's a musician, it turns out. He's also a poet, a filmmaker, so he's into all kinds of stuff. And I know, being a person that's kind of interests are spread out,
yeah,
that it's sometimes hard to figure out what you're going to spend your time that you have. I mean, we wish we had a 14 day week,
and exactly
80 hour day to try to get it all in. When did the whole this collaboration? When did this all come to be?
Well, my homegirl, Donna Jean, who's a third member, she plays the keys. She's probably out kicking ass right now. Does jujitsu, Krav Maga, and all that good stuff.
Wow.
But, yeah, she joined the band before I did. And then, you know, one of the people has just been replaced over and over. You know,
there's always
like
that
Spinal Tap.
There's always that spot in the band. It's like the Three Stooges, where there was always the Joe, and then he brought in, you know, yeah.
But
you finally settle on the guy, though.
I think I show up to the first show. I think she was playing here in Austin with the Chickens. And I joked about jumping on stage, common reference back when I got banned for life from all Fader magazine events worldwide. And so it's kind of my running joke of jumping on stage like I did at Fader.
It's going to have to be the open next time you come on. We have to find the story out. I like these stories.
It unfolds, and it's a good one. But I was like, yeah, during your guys' set, I mean, jump on stage. She's like, that's a great idea. She talked to Jason. He's like, no, was able to. I'm like, yeah, I can run that. And then just all of a sudden, I played one show, then played another. And I think before the third show, Jason's like, you know, you're a chicken now. I'm like, oh.
That could be a song. Like, it sounds like a title of the song. You know, you're a chicken now. That could be something. Yeah. Their anthem for the band.
That would be a good one. Sure, next Sunday, AD. There was a guy named Joe, not too different than you or me. He worked in a satellite loading bay, just polishing switches to pay his way. He did his job well with a cheerful face, but his bosses didn't like him, so they shot him into space. Science Theater 3000. So, Jazz, you're a big Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
And then we talked about that. And you had been to an Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, I remember
when the early events.
Yeah, yeah. They originally somebody approached them about showing old episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 there. And Tim League was like, oh, let's do one better. Let's just get comedians and do it live. So I remember, they called it Mr. Sinus Theater, which I think there was some cease and desist, and now they're Master Pancake.
It went on for a little while, though. They got by with it for, like, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, they went years.
A decade.
Yeah, but they kept on.
Had shirts.
Oh, exactly. Caps. But I remember the first movie they did was called Nudes on the Moon. And they said if you showed up nude, you could get in free. And the Hill Country Nudists showed up. And nudists are never the people you want to see naked.
We want to see a day when people have the right to be nude and to visit camps and not to be interfered with by the police or the rest of their community.
Well, that's good.
I remember being in the lobby. I remember counting 147 ceiling tiles.
And it's always the people you don't want to see naked that are the nudists.
Oh, exactly.
I had a friend who thought he was back like quite a while ago, and he was always like the real Kramer, like in real life.
Yeah.
And he was always trying to figure out a new scheme, like how am I going to meet some chicks. And so he just got this idea, he concocted this idea, oh, I'll join a nudist group because this is going to be major score. They're going to all be like these hot babes. It's going to be like an island of hot women. And so he shows up.
Who is it?
It's the plumber.
Plumber? I didn't call a plumber.
And he thinks everybody's going to just, look like a Sports Illustrated model. And he walks in and it's just like a lot of Golden Girls, let's just say. But like the more hippie version of Golden Girls and the more overweight, kind of the mess sloppier version of Golden Girls, not even the hot Golden Girls. not even the Rue McClanahan Golden Girls. That would have probably been okay if you didn't have anywhere else to go. You could maybe get, but anyway. So
I'm not judging.
So this is happening. So this is going on. This just hit the internet.
We made MST3K. We could have gone straight to a big network, but instead, we started on local TV in Minneapolis, where we had a lot of freedom to figure out the show.
Yeah, also you didn't know anybody was watching you.
Well, it's true. After our first season, the show moved to cable, and we had a really good run, too. We shot almost 200 episodes on the Satellite of Love before we finally got canceled.
Excuse me, but it seems like a show that's
Satellite of Love. Have you heard that term before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And powered by cheesy movies should be able to run, indefinitely.
I hear you. That's what the fans thought, too. Here, check this out. They went to all the trouble of running this ad in Variety to try to convince the networks to bring MST3K back.
As an old-school blowhard executive, I take great pleasure in completely ignoring your little ad.
Well, obviously, that didn't work, and the show got canceled. But what if I were to tell you that we finally have a chance to bring MST3K back?
So let me get this straight. You found a conference table full of executives that want the show?
No, because now it isn't up to me or a conference table full of executives. It's really up to you. Now the fans have the power.
So do the Kickstarter. And this has become a model that's worked great for some other shows. You've had the Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Veronica Mars. You've had the reboot of that that was spawned from a Kickstarter. Oh, Reading Rainbow. Also, that was being rebooted.
Oh, yeah.
Or has been rebooted as a world of Kickstarter. So now the next one, and reboots are everything everywhere now. I mean, it's been a big thing. People love nostalgia. And I don't know. I mean, what do you think? What do you think is the core of reboots have become? You got Fuller House is going to be going to Netflix. There was a Dallas reboot for a little while. Arsenio Hall rebooted, but that ended up going away. But I mean, they're still doing more and more. There's more and more Ghostbusters for the cinema. It's being rebooted with the female cast. And there's going to be a question about that at some point in one of the future rapid fires I've got for y'all. But in the agree or disagree segment we're going to do. So I don't know. What do you think? What is it, just people's hunger for nostalgia? Is it the safety that Hollywood likes in a brand that's already established?
Well, I think there's like way more outlets now. Like back in the day with TV, you know, you only had a handful of channels and cable. You know, wasn't a lot of them. But there was just, then also the only place you could see movies were the movie theater, waiting 6 months and getting on, you know, DVD or whatever. Now with everything from the streaming to, you know, to all these other outlets, I just think it's, there's more ways to get content. And, you know, it's stuff like you look at Netflix and Amazon, mm-hmm. you know, they're getting their original programming, you know, and I think, was it Community wound up being on Yahoo for an extra season?
They picked up an extra season on that.
Oh, yeah.
By way, and on Yahoo.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good point you made, because all the different versions of ways to get content now out to people. And last week's show, we talked about the Star Trek reboot that's coming up, and then the Star Trek reboot is going to be on CBS All Access, which is a completely new platform that CBS has launched for streaming and on demand. So there's that too. Okay, so this show, this is the show, and they're asking for, if you look for it, it was a huge amount to be able to get, and it was going to depend on episodes. They were going to have, I'm going to scroll down here where they were looking at. I mean, they were looking at, for like a 15 episode launch, several millions of dollars. Okay, $2 million for three episodes. If they raise $3.3 million, they can get six episodes. $4.4 million for nine episodes. And $5.5 million for 12 episodes. $5.5 million. Could that happen? Could they do that? Does that seem like,
I don't know. Like, what are some of the rewards for this Kickstarter?
Yeah, that's always a biggie for me.
Yeah, be on the show. I mean, be at the Satellite of Love.
Yeah, I mean, this is the... here's Elizabeth back here. Some of the rewards. Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, and that would be, I mean, would you kickstart on this? Would you kick something in on this?
Oh, if I could be on the show.
That's what your point is.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that one's probably a couple $1,000. You know, and that's the thing that I'm looking at with these reboots, and I'm kind of looking back at a time. They're really, if you look back on the 90s and even the early 2000s, there wasn't a whole lot of reboots. It seems like more of, they got our mom and dad's money in the 80s, and now we're coming into an age where we can afford to take our own money and get all this stuff. So mm-hmm. they got our money again. It's kind of like a 15-year cycle there.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to get my money in 99. I didn't have no money, you know?
But now, it's very, Super Troopers is another show that was rebooted, or it's been put out there. I'm looking for the rewards on this. I'm going to try to... I think we're going to take a pizza break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, see what we can get if we actually kickstart in this. And then if it's being on the show, then for $2,000, maybe see if we can do a joint thing where we all put in our own money and we each split our time. So if they would have given us 15 minutes on the show, we each get 5 minutes maybe.
Can we start a Kickstarter to get the $2,000 for their Kickstarter?
Absolutely. I'm on board with
that. That's mega.
That's going to be done. Do some. All right. Okay. We're back. And now we're going to listen to some of what the rewards are for this startup.
Like you did.
But wait, why should the fans pay the money up front and not just wait until we're done? That's what I do. I lay back, then pounce. Yeah!
Well, most importantly, there won't be more MST3K without them. But we can also offer all kinds of cool rewards to thank people for helping. We need big ideas. Board of directors, sound off.
Oh, okay, I'm just blue skying now, but how about we offer a chance to write riffs on the new show with us?
Okay, now hear me out on this one. Maybe we can take the cast of the show on the road and we'll riff a movie live in your town.
Oh, and here's the kicker, wait for it. We offer only the finest hand-spun cotton t-shirts. Me, I take a French...
I'm getting kind of sick of people throwing us those hand-spun cotton t-shirts on the Kickstarters. Those are like every Kickstarter ever. Is like a hand-spun cotton t-shirt if you give us, like, you know, half a paycheck.
Powder blue and a lady's petite.
Oh, that's a great start. So take a look at our Kickstarter page for more details and to let us know your ideas. We'll be there 24/7 all month waiting for you. But right now, it's go time. Remember, we've got just 1 month to bring MST.
All right. So where would you like to see Mr. Sinus Theater at?
I don't know. I think probably the best bet would probably be one of the streaming services like Netflix or Amazon or even like Yahoo. You know, I don't know if it will hit cable again, but I just really see everything kind of going forward toward the streaming. And also think, you know, just podcast, you know. I mean, I know most podcasts are more interview format, you know, like this, but I really think as a platform.
Do you think I should do a podcast?
I think
like a real podcast, not what we're doing today. Because this isn't bullshit here what I'm doing, but maybe do a real podcast one of these days.
Oh yeah. Let me know. I'll be on it.
I'd be happy to have you if we ever do it. Jason, what would you like to see for a reward on this Kickstarter?
I'm thinking to myself, like, so what is more of the reward than, like, getting to watch this show? I remember the show back in the day, and when they were on Mystery Science Theater 3000, it was the funniest shit in the world. You would roll over. But sometimes they'd have a couple of minutes where they wouldn't have really any good jokes, and you'd actually have to watch the fucking movie. And that was always a little kind of rough on me.
You know, that's kind of the thing, too, is that you know, we'll have to change. Because, you know, another show that rebooted came back for a little while, but it just wasn't, it was different. Beavis and Butthead. They brought that back, and I love Beavis and, I love me some Beavis and Butthead. I could do Beavis and Butthead marathon, watch it hours of it. But, I mean, they brought it back. And I thought it was still very funny, but it was different because there was things they couldn't do, like from when they did it before. Like they were, the whole making fun of the music videos was the whole kind of the big part of the show where they derived a lot of the comedy.
Oh, check it out. I can't believe she's talking to Snoop that way.
Yeah. If that wasn't his mom, he'd be putting the smack down.
Yeah, really. Those are cool pajamas.
Yeah. Snoop rules.
Yeah.
And when it came back, a lot of the artists used to give them their videos to say, yes, please make fun of us. That's their exposure. And by the time they came back, it was like this new generation. It was like the Kardashian generation where people didn't want to be like belittled or made fun of, I guess. You know, it's like the sensitive Kanye types. And nobody wanted to put their videos on there. So they had to start making fun of like clips from reality shows and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, so like jokes now, people's got such a short attention span. You've got to have something like, boom. Like,
oh yeah,
and you were talking about how back then you could have to watch a little bit of the movie till you get to the next joke. I mean, is that going to play now? Are they going to have it faster paced to be able to play with today's audience, or is it just like screw today's audience? This is for like us. This is for like the old, you know, the people that are the 80s, 90s generation that you know, might have grown up watching this.
I think that's the difference between cable and streaming. You know, it's like cable, you're going to watch something just because it's on. Like, I've accidentally watched hours of people back home killing alligators, which I didn't intend to sit down for.
I'm not real scared of alligators. I did see one get one of our lab dogs one time when we basically declared war on the alligators.
But streaming, most of the time, it's more intentional watching. Mm-hmm. No, you're putting some thought into it. You're not just watching something because it's on. I really think if they did full movies, they could. If you're going to watch or chase this down or find it, you're going to watch an entire episode. Whereas I think with being on cable, you know, I think one, they would have to kind of shorten it up, you know, down to maybe hour-long episodes, which kind of throws off some movies. Like, I think it's a much better fit for streaming rather than cable now.
You know, in a way, on the other hand, to take the other side of this thing, this show is a little bit ahead of its time in a way because of the way it parody of it was something that kind of we caught up to later. With how we, you know, with the internet, how things are instant on demand. You can like comment on things and you can criticize things. You can make fun of something and it's the instant where this show was kind of like in the early, you know, in its infancy when we couldn't do that ourselves. So we could watch them do it. And it was like these terrible movies, these B movies that they had at their disposal to, and so we got to sit back and vicariously do it through them, through their voices.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like the back-in-the-day version of live tweeting.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about how there's all these reboots now, there's more reboots coming, and there'll be more reboots coming on top of that. One of these days, we'll have run out of, like, really awesome stuff to reboot, so we'll have to be rebooting, like the Kardashians reality show with, like maybe senior citizen Kardashians or their grandkids.
Speaking of reboots, have you guys read anything about the Gem and the Holograms movie?
I've just heard a little bits and pieces of it, about it here and there.
I guess they're pulling it from the theaters. It's going to be one of the shortest theater runs of any reboot movie that has ever been
put out. Wow. Is it that bad?
Well, I don't know, man. I saw the trailer, and I don't remember the show as being anything I want to write home about, but they turned it into this, like, touchy-feely story of female redemption and empowerment, and it looks like something that was made for the fucking Lifetime Network.
And it was evil band that they played against. You know, well, like, they weren't even in the movie.
And that's the thing. It was like, it was such a bad idea from the beginning. I don't know how they could juice anything else out of that.
Not all reboots were a good idea, that's for sure. And then some reboots were a good idea, but they just weren't done right. Like, I know you watched a little bit of it. When Arsenio Hall relaunched his show, after being off for years, the first episode had looked some of the hugest ratings. It beat all the late night talk shows that night. But what happened was then something happened. The next day, ratings drop. Next day, the ratings drop. And then they drop. And then they only had a peak one more time, I think, when Prince came on. They had a big ratings boost. And then with Eddie Murphy probably came on, they had a big, you know, like big ratings boost. But the thing is, the show came on, it just wasn't rolled out the right way. I'll always say the reason why Arsenio's reboot show failed was because of the lack of the dog pound.
Oh, totally agree.
Was one of the big reasons. And it seems like the simplest thing ever, but yeah, there was other reasons there too. There was a writing. I mean, you know, supposedly Jay Leno had recommended some of his writers that were no longer working on his show. And like, do you want to take someone's hand-me-downs? They're like,
Jay Leno's hand-me-downs.
Yeah, and Jay Leno's hand-me-downs. And he's like, hey, man, these are the guys I don't hire anymore, but you can have them, and he'll write you some terrible jokes. Anyway, so
it was so weird, like, seeing Arsenio talking about, like, modern things.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such a retro thing to see. You know, like, that dude knows aged really well.
Yeah, that worked for him. Looked the same.
Yeah, it looked like he did back in the day, but to hear Arsenio Hall talking about tweeting and, you know, this and that, and reality TV, I'm like, it'd be almost like Beavis and Butthead talking about cell phones.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Some of the reboots have done okay. I like the Dumb and Dumber 2 sequel, but I'll admit it wasn't as great as the original. I mean, nothing could be as great as the original. But I disagree with most people. I actually like Dumb and Dumber 2, the sequel. Not that 2 they made that was the prequel, but the one they made like a year ago, I actually thought I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to do a segment that we started here last week. It's called Agree or Disagree. And anyway,
I already disagree. Shit.
Just do agree and disagree, or do both, or do one or the other, and do it all the time. You know, I'll tell you something. I've been kind of sluggish. And I'm trying to figure out, why am I not, like, and hopefully you didn't notice, but it's like, I didn't have my yerba mate today. And I got so involved in, like, I'm going to figure out what we're going to talk about. Like, what are they going to be, the agree or disagree? Anyway, I got so involved in it, and I missed my mate. And now it's like, I don't want to drink it now because I won't be able to sleep tonight. Anyway, all right, so we're going to come back, and we're going to do agree or disagree, and that's what we're going to do. And maybe we got pizza, too. I made you a slice of pizza, go to the potty, scratch myself, but I'm doing that right now as we speak.
Okay.
And, backtrack one thing. You had said something when we were on a little break about the robots.
Oh, yeah.
Rewards.
I totally think if I could get a blowjob from the robots, I would give them, you know, $200 to $500.
I want the robots to be on the back of my couch so I can watch movies and just talk to them.
Well, merchandise, and they said they'll take advice. You're a great idea guy. He said they'll take, you know, through their email or whatever. You can give them tips or good ideas. That would be a good one. Merchandising that for them to sell those those robots you could have for your house.
Just sit on the back of my couch.
I'm with you. I'd take a couple of those things back here, too. And put on the, when we start doing the video version of this, that'd be kind of cool to have.
I kind of want to go back to the price of it. Now, what was it that, like, for $2 million, we're only going to get, like, 3 fucking episodes? It's like a blue screen show with some robot silhouettes and a bad B movie.
I think he's pocketing some of that, but that's just me. I don't know.
You know, I mean, that seems a little steep.
If you want to call him out on it, you can message him right there. It says a message from a guy named right there. It says message me, Joel Hodgkin. They also had that riff track. Some of the guys from this
were doing
the riff track for quite a while. So it's been around in different forms and different fashions. Of course, the Alamo had their own thing. Anyway, back in Babylon. Or we can go take another break, and then we come back and do agree or disagree, or I can babble on.
Disagree.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be back.
Star Wars is so galactic, and Solo charismatic, makes me kind of asthmatic. If Anakin had studied his mathematic, maybe he wouldn't have spasmatic. The Force, of course, is wide awake, baby, and Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
Oh, yeah, I guess we're back.
Wow. That was just a weird way to end a song. Like,
yeah.
And Princess Leia is the world's hottest girl. It's like,
wait, baby. And Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
It's Princess Lear. Princess Lear. Yeah.
I don't remember what Princess Lear looked like, man.
And I'll
probably actually a painting somewhere, I guess.
And I think we went Leia on the song because it rhymed the best. But I think that Queen Amidala, actually, if I had to take my vote for all-time hottest,
yeah.
I'm gonna go Natalie Portman all day. I mean, you got my back on
Did
that?
Did she ever go topless?
In Star Wars?
No, not in Star Wars. But, I mean, just in general, like, most of them eventually go topless. And sometimes it's not on a crack binge. But I just don't remember her ever going topless.
We'd have to Wikipedia for DJs. Wikipedia. All right, now we're going to play a segment we call Agree or Disagree. And this is where I ask a question. You tell me if you agree or if you disagree. And then, you know, at some point we find a little bit out about you as a person.
Who are you?
Kind of those questions.
Who are you?
All right. So we're going to get into the real shit now.
The shit is getting real. Oh, yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just got real.
All right.
The shit is getting...
Stop it! All right. Here he goes. Agree or disagree? Kylo Ren will eventually assume the identity of his grandfather, Darth Vader.
I disagree. That'd be a cop-out.
I agree.
Oh, we got a split on this. Okay, first, why do you disagree on that?
Man, there's only one Vader. Anybody who knows anything about Vader knows there's only one Vader. And yeah, I don't figure J.J. Abrams is that cheap. I know that he's going to throw us for a loop, man. I know there's probably going to be a death in that first episode that everybody's going to fucking cry over. But no, don't. I already had to sit through episode one. I know you probably did, and I'm pretty sure Jazz did, and no one fucking wants
to. See, I refuse to believe those, the prequels, are even part of the Star Wars canon. You know, to me, like, those are just famous people playing Star Wars, I did when I was 5, but they have better toys and better costumes. That's not even Star Wars. The New Hope, like, those three, yeah, those are the real Star Wars. The other, not even part of the canon.
You know, I've thought about this because, you know, we were going to go back and watch them again, and I was trying to say, well, it wouldn't be worth it to put the, you know, before we go watch the episode 7, go back and watch all of them again. And I was like, do I really want to even mess with the prequels? And I kind of, one thing, I agree on episode 1 and 2. I think by episode 3, though, he was finally starting to get it again. It's like George Lucas had been off for a long time, and like he was a little rusty. And then he got into, there's all the kids stuff, like because they started getting the obsession in Return of the Jedi, where, oh, we got to put something in there that's going to appeal
Ewoks,
to the kids,
man.
Or to the, but I can take the Ewoks, I can palate that, but the Jar Jar Binks could never palate that.
Yeah. And that kid who couldn't act, I mean, like, I don't know if I've ever seen a worse actor.
By the third film, I just wanted that chapter in my life to be over. I needed to know a few things, and I just needed it to be over.
No. I disagree, man. I think that episode two, when they finally brought in Hayden Christensen, and they really had that, I think they had so much bad feedback from The Phantom Menace that they knew that they had to get on a completely different track. And they really threw a lot of information at us, which was real good stuff. Like, I mean, where did the clones come from? Why do they even call this the Clone Wars? We got a lot of background information that was really good. That's my opinion, you know.
Well, and actually, the background stuff, actually, I thought it got a little bit too information-wise, like too overloaded with information. So I kind of agree with it, then disagree with it to a certain level. But so why do you think we see Darth Vader again, Jazz? Because you said you agree with that.
Oh no, I'm almost thinking like there's gonna be some not flashbacks, but there has to be a little more exposition. I mean, that the first 20 minutes has to give us like what's up between there and then and now.
Because it becomes apparent. I mean, we see what we're seeing so far. I mean, first of all, Kylo Ren's crazy. He's messed up. And then
not everybody who holds a dead guy's helmet is fucking crazy.
He's obsessed. just a week ago, as an example, you know, Jason was telling me when we were on break that he was doing the same thing before the trailer even came out. He does that every night before he goes to bed. Holds a dead guy's helmet up and says, you know, I will complete what you... They stole that from you. Damn it, Hollywood,
you
do it again.
You don't want to know what I do afterwards.
Well, and that's the scene where you wonder if they're going to cut that scene off where he actually pulls his pants down and jacks off in the helmet of Darth Vader. It's like, I really love you, Darth Vader. And this is before he finds out it's his grandfather's helmet that he's masturbating in. Because that's when it really gets, you know, kind of messed up. No, but I thought, okay, he's obsessed with Darth Vader. He wants to become Darth Vader. Maybe he gets even more wicked with it and throws himself in the lava and has himself, like, turn into half robot. And then he gets the suit made again, and he starts walking around calling himself Darth 2. I mean, maybe it's not enough to be Kylo Ren. He's got to be Darth Vader. I don't know. But that's... So, I think what you're getting at, Jazz, is you at some capacity see Darth Vader come back.
In some way.
Whether it's a flashback, whether it's a... And you say, oh, it's to be cheap to just bring Kylo Ren to say he's going to be Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. But would you go with that? That maybe in some capacity
it's
we're going to
possible,
see Darth Vader?
Man. I really want to see where they go with these Knights of Ren idea. Because I mean, that's cool.
That's my favorite shot in that last trailer mm-hmm. 3, is where you see all the Knights of Ren standing out there in the rain. Mm-hmm. Or was it the rain and the storm? That was a cool shot.
Yeah. And, I got excited. We don't have visuals here, man. I've got an old Sith logo tattooed on my arm about 5 inches big. And so I am a huge fan of following Sith lore all mm-hmm. the way back to the original species, and so mm-hmm.
do it.
To see this Knights of Ren thrown in there, I really want to see where they go with that, and I would feel very cheated if it just went too well. We're just gonna put the guy in a Vader suit,
and now it will be Vader.
Yeah, because I mean that has nothing to do with the holocrons. That has nothing to do with the history of where the dark side comes from, of turned Jedi's, blah 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 blah.
Okay, second question on agree or disagree. Rey and Finn are going to hook up in the new trilogy.
I hope so, man. That would rock.
So you agree?
I agree. I totally agree.
Agree or disagree? Rey, of course, the girl that everybody thinks is Han Solo and Princess Leia's daughter. And Finn?
I don't know, but they'd probably make some beautiful babies.
Now, definitely. You know the part of Finn, Michael B. Jordan auditioned for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was trying to... Okay, now we can go... There's a skeleton in the room here when I ask that question, because on the internet, we found out more than ever just how racist people are.
Oh, my
when
God.
When those first trailers came out, and the second trailer came out, the third trailer came out, I was blown away by the racism. And I really, you know, I try to break things down and analyze it and try to figure out, okay, well, we know there's racist people, so there's always been racist people. The internet seems to bring all that stuff to the surface more than any time in our lives that's just been brought to the surface. But why was it not a big deal? And I thought, well, why was it nobody make a big... I don't remember people making... When I was a kid, I mean, I was small when Empire Strikes Back comes out and you have Billy Dee Williams playing, you know, Lando Calrissian. I don't remember that kind of, like, you know, people, you know, showing their ass like that. But I'm also remembering that was before the internet. and the internet in other languages just show my ass. You know, but social media too. But so I mean, what do you think? I mean, and then we had you had even more recently. You had a lead character, well, a supporting role, Mace Windu in Samuel Jackson. What is it that's been causing all this stir about a black actor playing this role? What? Why has it been such a big? Why? Look, we know people are racist, but why is that stirring up such a amazing reaction? Like a amazingly bad reaction.
I haven't quite figured that one out. Like, what causes racism?
Well, I think that it's just, you know, we got to realize that when the internet really took hold was when really these racists could find each other. Because racism, in the general consensus, there's not a whole lot of educated people who are openly racist. But mm-hmm. on the internet, you can do that in anonymity. And I remember in the late 90s when the internet was really blowing up, all these like race hate groups were finding each other because like, hey man, there's like four other people who are stupid and hate the wrong stuff in my town. Whoa,
let's,
I didn't
let's have
know
a meetup at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Everybody's racist drunk uncle had met each other.
And so I think that unfortunately that's just a side effect of, you know, the modern age is that if I'm into, let's say I'm into having sex with stuffed animals. Before, I had to sit in my room alone and cry with a lot of stuff that I bought from the stuffed animal store. But now, I can meet like-minded people and I cannot feel so alone.
And you can have the stuffed animal meetups?
Well, that's not pertinent now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not judging.
Oh, you bring your stuffed animal and, you know. Well, there was cuddling groups. There was that kind of thing back in the early, mid-2000s, these cuddle meetups. Speaking of something I'd like to reboot. No, just.
Oh.
Totally joking. All right. So, I got it here. Lando Calrissian, played by Billy Dee Williams, will return in episode 8. Agree or disagree?
I agree, man. That would be the best decision they could ever make in the history of the world, dude. Lando Calrissian is the unsung hero of the Star Wars movies, man.
Jazz?
I just hope they don't make him related to Finn. Like, what, there's three black people in the whole universe. I mean, that...
And they
that
all universe, related to each other.
And they have to be related some way. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no.
And Mace Windu's dead, so... And I don't even think he since he was in the Jedi group, you know, he was a Jedi Knight in the Council before they changed the rules. He couldn't have kids, so he couldn't even have, you know, kids of his own. All right, so you think, so you kind of hope so, but do you think so? Do you agree with that? Are we going to see Billy Dee Williams back? Because he's, you know, everybody's been talking about, where's Luke? Well, I'm asking also, where's Lando? They haven't seen him.
I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's like the difference between the prequels and like these new round of movies. Is it seems like these are written by almost like fanfic, you know, these are people like us that grew up mm-hmm. on these movies mm-hmm. and are invested.
Yeah.
Like before it just seemed like cha-ching, mm-hmm. you know, more just cashing in. Like to me it's like Star Wars is the great American epic. Mm-hmm. You know, ancient Greece had the Iliad and Homer. Like we're talking about a 40-year-old movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what we are still talking about. We're still debating it. You know, we're all, you know, excited.
It's astonishing. When I thought about that the other day. It was like 1977 when this launched.
Yeah.
Lucas probably started filming it in 1976, I'm guessing, without knowing for sure, that going back and looking at Wikipedia. But probably had the idea already, you know, in progress. Well before that, because we know how that kind of goes in the creative world, where you get some ideas, and sometimes you're sitting on it for a while before it actually comes to fruition. So, I mean, this could have been already in his brain banks, like way back under that floppy hair
and those fucking shorts, man. Every time I see George Lucas in those like shorts that come up to the bottom of the groin area mm-hmm. and they're neon green with the racing stripe down the side.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to block that on my head personally, but yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to go to number 4 and we're going to mix it up a little bit. It's a non-Star Wars question. Space Jam 2, starring LeBron James, will become a real thing.
If there's going to be reboots, that one is going to happen.
You know, if you'd asked me that question a year ago, I would have said, oh, no, it's not going to happen. But then when I saw LeBron James in Trainwreck, you've seen a Trainwreck. He's got some talent.
Oh, he's got some chops.
And you know, Michael Jordan, people argue, well, Michael Jordan was the better player, or he had the 6 rings. But LeBron James, he can act. and he actually is very funny, too. I mean, he's been on Saturday Night Live, and I just remember Bill Hader just praising on how, you've got to put him in this movie, because we'd already worked with him on Saturday Night Live, and he was just brilliant. I mean, and he talked about how unfair it was, like that he was great at basketball and he's funny too. Is like like, how do you do that?
I think it's gonna look better. Like, if they do it, it's gonna look better. I mean, we were already kind of impressed seeing the animation and real life, you know, mixed. I just think they can do it so much better now.
And I think if you do that now at this point, it's got to, you look at all the NBA stars that are out right now, it's got to be LeBron James, because he's kind of the one the kids are into right now. Like, if you want to get the kids excited to go to the movie theater. I mean, you could probably, next thing, you work your way down the list, then you could maybe go to Kevin Durant next, who's got, some, I think he's got the coolest shoes that are out now.
LeBron's got a strong brand, if it's anybody, it's LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, another one, non-Star Wars, to close out, agree or disagree. The Rocky spinoff, Creed, we were talking about Michael B. Jordan earlier, will become a huge smash hit and spawn a Creed series like Rocky before it. Agree or disagree? Or is it a one-off?
I have to disagree, man. I'm thinking it's going to be a one-off movie, and I think it's getting harder and harder to get people into the theaters, even with these, like, weird reboot ideas. So, I wish him the best of luck, man, but I don't have a good feeling about this one. I really don't.
Were you a Rocky fan at all, Jazz?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to like boxing back when there was, like, a unified belt before it kind of all became just kind of the joke that it is now. But, I don't know, I almost see that sort of like the Star Wars thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got some characters that are, not reboot, but what do you call it? I don't know, I've heard some rumors that the Star Wars movie, the Rebels are going to become the Empire,
Been whispers of that, yeah, definitely on the internet.
And it's just, seeing these roles kind of roll over, and seeing Rocky kind of going into that same role as, what was the guy's name?
Oh, Paulie.
Yeah, yeah.
In the originals.
It seems like Rocky's going to be Paulie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll get this one if it does well, if it does good box office. I think we'll get a second one. I just don't think we're going to get 5 more.
It just goes on and on and on. Yeah. And see, and the thing is, Michael B. Jordan's very popular. And it's the people that did Fruitvale Station, which is where I give this movie a shot, because they did a very good job on that flick. And so, and it was actually, supposedly, they went to him and pitched to Stallone, said, we got this idea. And, Carl, speaking of the original Creed, Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers, I kid you not, worked out with him one time. Kinda. It wasn't like I was invited to work out with him. I was at Gold's Gym in Venice Beach with my friend Derek and Carl Weathers. We were on the machines.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers comes in next to us and starts working out on the machine next to us. And I've got my headphones on, and I'm probably listening to some Ace of Base or the Backstreet Boys or something. Anyway,
I'm not judging.
Anyway, Britney, I don't know. But anyway, he comes in, so he's got, he's there, he's working out, and my friend says, I'm like this. I'm kind of like into my own music and working out, and I'm not even involved in what else is going on. And my friend like taps me and says, hey. It's like, what do you want, man? And he's like, look who's over there. And I look over, and I'm like, I had to pinch myself. I was like, he looks amazing. And again, you're talking about someone hasn't, like Arsenio hasn't aged. He was amazing. And he's still in great shape. And I hadn't seen him in anything in a while. So it was really like walking into a movie like, oh, we're working out with Apollo Creed now. I'm like, let me go get some. I'm just going to go, like, try to find, like, some American flag, like, boxing shorts just so I can get him to sign it. But where the hell do you find American flag boxing? Oh, never mind. I mean, it's like we're in Venice Beach. You probably could find someone on roller skater going down the way.
Oh, Creed 4, he'll be fighting ISIS.
Yeah, you have to start. Yeah, because that's the if you're going to stick with the original series and have some parallels, then you have, you know, because you had Drago and the Russians you were fighting, and yeah, you have to have ISIS.
Yeah, Rocky will die in one of them.
Yeah, it's absolutely. So when we come back, we're going to have my closing segment, which are thoughts and advice for your day. Last week, I told people area of town that they could see high crime in the middle of the day.
All right. In Austin. Yeah.
Now it's time to close it out with thoughts and advice for your day. And, you know, when I say high crime, I'm talking about a hotel I think is a front for a brothel. So I don't know if that's really high crime, but it's not, you know. Anyway, here it goes. You always hear people say in life when they try to inspire you, be a tiger, be an eagle. Eagles are courageous. Be a lion. Rawr. No, I say think out of the box. Be a pile of fire ants. When you want to give someone a pep talk, don't tell them to be a tiger. Don't tell them to be an eagle. Say, hey, be a pile of fire ants. Because when pile of fire ants get stomped in, or stomped on, they just get mad and they bite back. So when life stomps on you, doesn't treat you right, walks through you, be a pile of fire ants and bite back. That's a closeout for thoughts and advice for your day. Stop that damn music. It's gonna drive me crazy. Let's have you back. Maybe, like, in 5 minutes, we'll do another episode.
Yeah. All right.
Everyone have a good, whatever, night, day, hour.
Next thing. Whatever you're doing next, please enjoy it. And remember, we love you.
And, hey, if you got a helmet of a dead guy's, keep it by your bedside.
Yo, I need protection.
And wear protection. It sounds a little bit like the Fine Young Cannibals, this song.
It's time for fun.
Whatever happened to those guys?
He's doing this theme song for my podcast. Don't make me say it
again. These are hard times.
I will not say it again. Okay, I lied.
Pumping my fist in the air. Oh, yeah. This was a Hit the Bricks production.